comments. Just say hey to all of your family who is watching with you. I'm very blessed today by our worship team, our worship ministry. You all did a phenomenal job. Thank you for being led of God today and leading us in worship. We so appreciate what you all do each and every week. Right now, I'm going to have you all go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to be continuing the You Asked For It series. And in this particular series, this came as a result of the topics and the questions that you all wanted to know from us. And now we're coming to the close of it, and you all asked us to deal with the message and topic in the Bible on forgiveness. And so in person, as well as online, I want you all to talk to me today, and I want to know, how many messages have you heard in your lifetime on the subject of forgiveness? You all can talk to me and put it in the comments if you're watching online. How many messages have you all heard on forgiveness? You can put up your hands or yell it out. About 10. We got like 10. We got about 2 or 3. About 3. You know, okay. All right. I see a lot of folks with no hands up. Yeah, okay, I got 5. All right. I found this to be my experience, and I've been in church over 35 years. The first time I was out the house, it was Easter Sunday of 1987. So I've been in church my entire life, but maybe have heard a handful, and I'm being generous, messages on forgiveness. However, throughout the years, I've heard that we should forgive. So you're asking me to do something, but you're not showing me specifically and biblically how to do this, and really, why is it so important? And I wanted to just go out on record by saying that forgiveness is the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian faith. It is the one characteristic outside of Jesus raising from the dead that separates Christianity from all other world religions. And so if it's so important to forgive, why are we not talking about forgiveness and how to do it more? So here at The Outlet, we're going to make the main thing the main thing and pattern our lives according to the way Scripture says they should be patterned. And so I want to ask you all, is anybody looking in certain areas of your life for closure? Like I want some healing in some certain areas, certain relationships. You're not alone. According to Hopkins Medicine, 3 out of 5 people, 62%, of American adults say that they would like to experience and they need to walk in more forgiveness in their life. The other 2 out of 5 individuals need forgiveness from God for lying, because all of us need some work at growing and walking in forgiveness. The same article went on to conclude that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health. It lowers the risk of heart attack. It improves your cholesterol levels as well as your sleep. It reduces pain. It reduces your blood pressure levels and also your levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. But here's something unique that came out of this study from Hopkins Medicine. The older you get, the more important it becomes to forgive, but the tougher it becomes to let stuff go. Haven't you noticed when you get a little older, you say, you know what? Enough is an I'm not tolerating no more. But there is a direct health correlation between as you age, the more important it is for you to walk in true biblical forgiveness. And this is for your health. And so what we do not forgive, we will repeat. And this is how those who have been victimized become the victimizers. Because when you don't forgive the ills and the offenses and the transgressions that have been done to you, the only way to hold on to them is to rehearse them and subconsciously condition yourself according to the pain that you experienced. And the more you condition yourself to pain, the more pain you are going to inflict on others. So forgiveness is important. The goal of today's message, and I don't foresee that I'm going to complete today's message because I want to take my time, but my goal is to help you gain the closure necessary to move forward in your life in a healthy way. So many times people ignore the pains of their past and think that time heals all wounds, and time doesn't. Actively working toward healing is what heals the wounds of our past. And we are all familiar with the statement that says, hurting people hurt people. And there are times in our life where life just flat out hurts. Relationships go completely off the rails. Betrayal happens. We find ourselves in situations that we would have never imagined we'd be in, but yet we are. But we have the power to deal with them. Are you all ready to see biblically how we are to do this? So today's message is entitled Closure, the truth about forgiveness and restoration. The truth about forgiveness and restoration. Forgiveness and restoration are two totally separate things. And in order for us to have closure, you are able to gain closure through forgiveness, and you're also able to maintain closure even if there is no restoration in forgiveness. Oh, yeah, we're getting ready. All right, so Matthew 18. Because sometimes scripture can be used to manipulate people to be in abusive situations and environments. And so people keep going to a place of pain and a place of hurt because they believe that's what the Bible said I should be doing. And the Bible did not say you should be doing that. But sometimes people subject themselves to pain thinking they're being a soldier for the Lord. And by no stretch of the imagination did the Lord ever tell you to do that. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's some things that we've got to correct concerning our relationships so that we can all move forward in a healthy way and have closure. Because without closure, you will not be able to embrace what God is doing now because you're focused on what happened back then. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read a lot of scripture, but y'all are good for it. So in verse 21, it says, then Peter came to Jesus. I love Peter. How often should I forgive someone who sins against me? He said, seven times? Now, let's not act like we're holier than we really are. Seven times for the same instance, that's a lot. In fact, rabbinical and Jewish tradition says that you only had to forgive someone three times, or the three strike rule. I know none of you in here say, listen, you got three times. Three strikes, you're out of there. I know none of y'all are like that. So Peter, he said, I'm feeling good. I know what tradition has taught me, that it's the three strike rule, but I'm going to double that, then add one. Seven times, right, Lord? And Lord was like, nah, bruh. That was the Vincent Ebonic version of the nah, bruh, with parentheses there. He said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. He was saying, there is no limit to how often you should forgive someone who does you wrong. Now, here's the deal, y'all. We got to have the right definition of forgiveness, or else you would think the Lord is telling you to subject yourself to constant abuse. Well, listen, I have been in full-time ministry since 2006. It is 2022. I came in real lofty, y'all. Real, everything is just black and white and colors and cherries and lilies and valleys and, you know, marriages that are together are supposed to stay together. Now I'm like, listen, if y'all don't want to be here, are we not going to talk today? I'm not about to sit up here in my office and counsel two people that don't want to be together. I learned a lesson from somebody who does counseling very well. I'm not going to work harder than you. That's your marriage. I go home to a beautiful wife, beautiful family. I ain't about to stress, and you're not willing to put in no work now. Listen. And we hold people to stuff they don't want to do. Man, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But we got to define forgiveness. Because if Jesus said, we got to take Jesus at his word, that there is no limit to how many times you are supposed to forgive. You have no scriptural right to not forgive. I will say this. I'm going to get ahead right here. If the Bible says one thing and I am committed to doing something opposite, I am placing what is opposite above the Bible. Therefore, what God says is less than what I'm willing to do, which means what I'm willing to do now becomes my idol and it's a form of worship. But we need the right definition of forgiveness, because I can feel y'all right now, like, I know he's not about to tell me to do X, Y, and Z. I want you all to be with me, but I want to show you how important forgiveness is to God. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And please note, borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Come on. And he couldn't pay it. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. It was such an absorbent amount of debt that he, his family, his children could work their entire life and he would not make up the debt that he committed to paying back. But verse 26, the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. I got a good heart. I'm good for it. Then his master was filled with pity for him, a little empathy, understanding that his heart's in the right place. And he released him and he forgave his debt so he didn't have to pay back the millions of dollars that was owed. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. Difference? A little bit. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded an instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him, just give me a little more time. Be patient with me. Sounds like him, doesn't it? And I will pay it. He pleaded. But his creditor, his lender, wouldn't wait. And he had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. And they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you simply pleaded with me, not because you could pay it back. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt, which he could never pay. And he says, Jesus says in verse 35, that's why my heavenly Father will do to you. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters. Where? From your heart. So that evil servant represents all of us who have received forgiveness from God. Nothing we have already done to God is worse than anything somebody can do to us, no matter how bad it is. It is terrible, and people do owe you an apology for acting the way that they did. But the reason why forgiveness is uniquely Christian in idea is that Jesus paid a debt none of us would ever pay, even though our hearts are at times in the right place. How can I prove that? Have y'all ever said, Lord, I messed up, and I'm not going to do that again? And then you found yourself doing that again. Your heart, and again, your heart was in the right place. But were you ever in jeopardy of losing your forgiveness? Never, not at one time, because forgiveness was a decision made by the Lord when he sent Jesus to die for all of your sins once and for all. So every time, even from time past to the time going forward, anytime you make a mistake, it's already forgiven. You don't have to beg for forgiveness from God. You have forgiveness. And what happens is other world religions have slowly crept into the Christian faith because in other world religions, number one, there may not be forgiveness because there is no personal God and a loving Father. Number two, in other religions, such as Hindu and Buddhism, you don't escape the debt of what you messed up. You just set yourself up for karma. Y'all have heard that before. And karma reincarnates itself over and over and over again until you fully pay off your one mistake. That's where we get the term, they're going to put that bad karma out there. And it's that's not how Christianity works. We are the servant who begged the Lord when we said, God, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That was the full payment of sin, a debt none of us could ever pay with our entire life. But yet, because we asked for Jesus to come into our life, we received that forgiveness. But again, I'm talking about forgiveness. I have not talked about restoration yet. I want you all to be clear. Forgiveness means I am releasing you from the debt of apology. Every person that has done you wrong, they should apologize, but they surely don't owe it to you. So an apology is not what I'm waiting on to get closure based off of what they did. Because if I'm waiting for some situations on an apology, you're going to be waiting the rest of your life. And ain't nobody got time for that. So I want you all to notice another element in this beautiful, beautiful story and hyperbole that Jesus presented to us. There is a connection and a correlation between economics and forgiveness. There's a correlation between money and what it means to forgive. Case in point, I'm going to call these the deficiencies of the currency of life. And for the sake of our conversation today, there are four things a part of our currency in life. It's money, power, love, respect. That's how the world runs. Money, power, love, respect. And when one or all four of these are missing from the equation of life, something is not right, and this is where forgiveness is needed. But let me bring it home to you. Anybody loan some money you ain't really want to loan to somebody before? By show of hands, come on, get honest with me right now. In the comments, let's get real honest. You loaned that money, didn't you? And you ain't want to do it, but you did it anyway because either it was family or a friend and they hurting too. I know I'm hurting now, but they hurting more. And so now we out here and they said, I'm good for it, but you realize they not good for it. How did you feel when you loaned beyond your capacity and they couldn't pay it back? Come on, be honest with me now. How did you feel? No. How do you feel? Because I know y'all are thinking about them folks right now. Listen, it's the 15th coming up. I need y'all to do your word. How did you feel? Angry, mad, upset, spitting mad. You know what? That's it. I'm cutting them off. No more. Never again. Just when you're trying to be nice to people. It'd be your own family. I mean, do whatever you say. But that feeling is real. Like I'm knocking somebody in the mouth. You know, they don't give me my money. Anybody ever borrow money and you couldn't pay it back? Let's be honest. And your debt was forgiven. How did that feel? It's like a weight that was lifted. Yeah. So money puts us in the mindset of what's needed in order to walk in forgiveness. So for those who have been burned before in money, In the comments, I want you to leave this wisdom and this advice for those who are coming to watch later and those who are watching right now. For those who are here, I want you all to begin discussing with me, what is some wisdom you would give someone when it comes to loaning money to someone else? Don't loan if you can't afford to not get it back. All right, anybody else? Any other wisdom? Put yourself in their shoes. Have some empathy. So what you all are saying is there should be some parameters into how I should engage with someone if I want to sow money or give money into their life. I should not just give it just because there's a need. Same thing is true in relationships. There needs to be some parameters to your love that says that I'm going to love you whether or not you give it back. That's between you and your Lord, but it's not going to make me an evil person because I'm trying to manage your pockets or your capacity to love. And so for some people in our lives and some relationships in our lives, we have to learn how to separate the forgiveness aspect that's needed from the restoration or reconciliation aspect that's a plus. Now, mind you, especially when it comes to blood family, people that you are born, you couldn't choose them. I'm sorry. You could not choose your family. And you were born into that family. It's God's perfect will that, yes, there be reconciliation, especially in areas that you are in family covenant, that you're in marriage covenant. That is God's perfect will. However, with the wisdom of the Bible, until a person responds to the love that they've been given correctly, and I'll show you the two circumstances and help you kind of gauge this, until they respond correctly to what has been given, you are under no obligation to start the reconciliation process because it's not healthy yet. Man, and they said that at church. But I guarantee you, that's Bible. And I'm going to show you that's Bible. Our problems in relationships are that we don't budget the necessary emotions properly for the different nuances that we face with the people in our life. We overextend, overcommit, and resentfully choose to do things that otherwise we aren't scripturally responsible for doing. The law of love is what helps us. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. It sounds like the neighbor is first, but actually the neighbor is third. You're second. They're third. So I have to ask myself a question is, how can I love you without losing my peace? And budget accordingly. Navigate the relationship accordingly. And it feels like you're being evil, or you might even be talked about because you put those parameters in. The same way someone, you will talk about yourself when you have a budget in your home. When you have a budget that you live by, and we do this not only in our home, but in our church, we have a set operating budget. No matter what happens, it's the budget. And there are things that I want, there are things the ministry wants, but the budget dictates ahead of time what we are to get and what we're to do. When you have an emotional budget of what you are able to give, oh, this is good. When you have a budget ahead of time, you know what you're willing to invest into it. There are certain people that I used to be close to that I'm not anymore because I don't have the emotional capacity to facilitate the nuances of people who are not regenerated in their thinking. And that's Bible to say, I forgive you. You don't owe me an apology, but I can forgive you and not be cool with you because I know you and I love me. I'm a very, very forgiving person. I love reconciliation and restoration like the next person. But there are some people that I have come to realize in my life that you're going to have to do you, and I'm going to have to keep doing me. Because we need to move forward in peace. And sometimes peace comes from a distance. But guess what? I'm going to sleep at night. Guess what? I'm going to enjoy today. Guess what? I'm going to speak highly of it. Guess what? I'm going to pray for you. And I ask that you pray for me, but don't you play with me. Let me tell you. Y'all, I ain't the one. I'm not the one. And what forgiveness allows you to do is develop the strength of your heart to withstand a blow and have a calculated response. When you're all over the place, blows happen, and then you overreact to what's in front of you. You're going to get hit with some stupid stuff. Not stupid. Listen, I was talking to somebody this week. I'm going to write a book about this journey of life that I've been on these last 4 years. And I'm going to tell the whole story. I mean, every ounce of the story, every little bit. But here's the thing. You're going to be hit with some foolishness. But you've got to understand that the greater good in all of this is maintaining the quality of your heart so that you can love others. I mean, it's disappointing, you know, growing up in my home and my father was abusive toward my mother. That was disappointing. I didn't enjoy that type of home, seeing my dad on top of my mom, physically beating her. I didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy the fact that they divorced when I was young. I didn't enjoy the fact that he died when I was nine. I don't like that at all. But life happens. But what you can do is either become a victim and say, Daddy wasn't there. I didn't know how to be a man because my dad wasn't a man. I don't know how to treat a woman because my dad didn't know how to treat a woman. Or you can say, I'm going to be what I never had. And you live that way. When it comes to my household, that's my mindset. When it comes to pastoring, that's my mindset. I've always walked a journey of trusting in God and hearing directly from Him. And I was never willing to submit my calling to someone who would manipulate it. And so I've had a unique journey in ministry and had a unique journey in serving in churches. And in that journey, what it's taught me is, Vince, you get the opportunity as a pastor to be the pastor you never had. And so you get to undo the pain that has been done. But if you don't forgive what has been done to you, you'll repeat that cycle to those that God sends to you. In a marriage, in a relationship, if I don't forgive what took place in our relationship, in our marriage, I am going to repeat that with the person that I am now with. I had a, you know, crazy little, we were friends, well, you know how that is. In high school, and we were just toxic for 2 years, just toxic, just doing stuff, petty stuff to make each other jealous, you know, that foolishness. So anyway, graduated, and you know how it is when you're in high school, you think that, oh my gosh, we're gonna be together forever, until you get out of high school and be like, look at all these beautiful people. Wow, the world is bigger than I thought. But although I graduated high school, I didn't graduate my petty games. And so I call myself bringing them games. And I met Ash when I was right a year after high school. So I was 19, she was 17. We've been together a minute. And I started playing them foolish games that were played on me to her. And I didn't know I was playing them stupid games, but yet I was playing them stupid games. Like just out the blue, just breaking up, just to break up, just to hear her say, oh no, we broke up. Can you please come back? Oh my gosh, I want you. You know what Ashley told me the first time I broke up with her? All right, bye. Like, ma'am, what you mean, all right, bye? It needs to be this long, drawn out, oh my gosh, what am I gonna say? Okay, well, I'll talk to you later. I'm like, I have never been treated like this before. But she taught me how I should treat her, and she set her boundaries. And it got to a point where she said, until you get your act together, don't talk to me until you grow up. And so I had to realize, ain't nobody ever talked to me the way she talked to me. Man, I love her. That's my girl. So I had to grow up and deal with the pain in the relationship that I didn't want to admit was a part of the relationship. And I had to grow into the person I am today. Sometimes the best thing y'all can do in that relationship is put that joker out. Oh, y'all didn't think they said that in church? Because back in the old school church, grandma and them, they stayed together. He had a whole different family on the other side of town. And he just came home and grandma heard that the woman was supposed to submit before God. And so she had his meal on the table when he was out doing stuff. Granddaddy ain't never took a group photo. And that's why granddaddy wasn't even smiling in the photo. He ain't want to be there himself, but he knew. Y'all gonna go home and look at all y'all old photos. Ain't not one smile before 1916. Y'all. Because we got to update this, y'all. Oh, my goodness. I ain't even scratched the surface on this message. So, the second point of this message is there is the miracle of forgiveness. And just jot this down. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's the miracle of forgiveness. It's a unique story because there was a man who was paralyzed, and his friends came around him and lowered him through the roof to meet Jesus. Now, if a man could not walk and he was lowered into a meeting with Jesus, what do you think Jesus should say to that man? What is the natural response you would say to somebody who can't walk, lowered through a roof, and needs healing? What would you say if you were Jesus to that man? What would you say? I wouldn't say nothing. I just look at him like, why did you? What would y'all say? Okay, since y'all would give him the silent treatment, I would say, be healed. Jesus didn't say that. He said, you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. Because until you know you've been forgiven by God, nothing else makes sense. And when he told that man he was forgiven, he answered the question of Jewish tradition of that the curse happened because somebody sinned. And if he felt like I was blind, maybe I sinned and lost my ability to walk. Maybe my parents sinned and it caused, because it said the curse shall follow generation after generation after generation before Christ. And so he said, you're forgiven, which eradicated the thought that I'm going through this because of something I did. There's something wrong with me. Jesus dealt with that mindset that the reason why my life is the way it is because I'm broken. No. Yes, you are broken, and all of us are broken. But your life isn't the way you are because you're broken. You're broken because you're in need of a Savior. And the Savior has to tell you that you're accepted and that you're loved. And when you understand that you are accepted and that you are loved and that you are completely forgiven, it then allows you to be healed in the other areas that have kept you bound and paralyzed in your life. So that's the miracle of forgiveness. But then there's the choice of forgiveness, because forgiveness is a choice. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. It says, put away all bitterness, anger, strife. Ooh, I almost got it right. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Why? In verse 32. Instead of doing this one thing, I want you to choose to do this other thing. Be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as, the word just as can be broken up into being equal to. So the same level that you are to forgive is the same way God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So that is your basis. So I am to forgive at the same rate and the same way God has forgiven me. Is God holding any sin against anybody in here? Yes or no? Anybody watching online, is God holding any of your sins against you, in person or online? Yes or no? Have we all been doing some sinning? Oh, absolutely. 1,000%. Absolutely. But is he holding that to your record? No. No, he's not. We talk about forgiveness, because let me end with saying what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. First, forgiveness is not an enabler of toxic behavior. When you forgive someone, you don't enable their behavior. You simply, we'll get to this in just a moment. Forgiveness is not the absence of triggers. Meaning, once you made the decision to forgive, you still can be triggered even months, weeks, years after the infraction. It's real. Forgiveness is not the immediate cessation of hurt and pain of the offense. Meaning, I can forgive you and still be in pain at the same time. So you're not waiting to be pain-free to know that you've forgiven. Forgiveness, that's a choice. Forgiveness is not the denial of the existence of an offense or transgression, or say, hey, we don't have to deal with that. Let's just go forward from here. No. We're going to talk about it. Because who's heard forgive and forget? In fact, you'll hear it biblically said. Now, the word says you are to forgive and forget. Well, forgive and forget is not incorrect. Forgive and forget is incomplete. There's an additional step. You are to forgive the individual. You are to forget that they owe you an apology. But here's the third one. You need to remember the lesson you learned from this event. Someone say and type in, forgive. Forgive. Forget. Forgive. Remember. Remember. Real simple. Forgive. Forget. Forgive. Remember. Remember. That's true forgiveness. I forgive you. You don't owe me an apology. But I'm taking all the lessons I learned from this and applying it to my life so that we don't make the same mistake twice. That's our goal. True forgiveness says, I'm not holding this to your charge. I'm not rehearsing what you did to me over and over and over and over and over and over and calling there, getting everybody on the phone, and then just going through the whole story. Now my emotions all back worked up again, and then I get off the phone with them, and then I call somebody else, and then I go through the whole thing. It's this too much. If you want closure, forgive, forget, remember. Let me say this quote about closure. And then I'm going to go home. Oh, man, there's so much in here. Okay. I want to read this that I put in my notes. The goal of restoration now is to rebuild the health of your heart, and it's not always returning to close proximity. So that's the goal of restoration. The goal is to have a healthy heart. There are times where relationships and close proximity are able to be reestablished. There are moments where someone does you wrong and you all can make up and get back and be cool as if nothing ever happened. Those are outstanding times. But there are also times when you will not receive the closure you are looking forward to. The only type of closure promised to us through the counsel of God's word is the ability to move forward with peace. Meaning we can't demand closure under our terms. We can only receive closure by receiving the peace that comes with knowing, God, you've forgiven me so much of all that I've done. I'm going to release them from the debt of apology. but I now know their tendencies, so God, give me the wisdom in how to deal with them. And that is biblical forgiveness. Amen. That's all for today. We'll pick this up. I done got us to a good stopping point. Let's stand to our feet today. And I went this whole time, didn't even give y'all a definition of forgiveness. So, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you. And forgiveness doesn't mean making up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you move forward with life in a healthy way. Dr. Karen Swartz says it's an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings, whether the person deserves it or not. It's ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs and offenses. It's pardoning. It involves, in time, restoration of broken relationships when permitted. But forgiveness is first something that we learn from God, who released sinners in judgment and freeing them from the divine penalty of their sin. I believe it's time for us to do the first step. Forgive. Forgiveness is an act of faith. And when you act in faith, you act first, feelings follow later. I made a decision in starting this church, and my wife and I together made a decision that we want to be people who live out forgiveness. And that was a decision long before we felt like forgiving anything and everything. That was long before the lies, rumors, things across the pulpit, all type of stuff would come at us. Your decision is what leads you, not your feelings. And we have seen in our own personal story, every time we've chosen to forgive, everything we thought we lost, we got back better, bigger, greater than what we thought we were missing out on. There is a correlation to your purpose, your dreams, and your ability to walk in forgiveness. Your life is too precious. Your destiny is too great to harbor unforgiveness, because harboring unforgiveness robs you of the gift of the present and today. God could be doing a work right here in this moment in your life, and you can't even see it because you're in the prison of your pain because of what someone else has done. There was someone who owed me over $60,000. $60,000. Publicly, I needed that money. That was my money. But privately, the Lord said, I want you to release them of that debt of owing you over $60,000. During that time, our church was first starting. I elected to not receive a salary in 2018 when we first started. When I was owed over 60, y'all feel me? $1,000. I had contracts had handshakes, had people I'd known for years. 60,000 dollars. Never forget, December 22nd, 2018 was our 2019 board meeting for this church. And in that moment, the Lord said, I want you to defer your salary in 2019 while I'm owed $60,000. And I deferred that salary so that we could bring on additional personnel and that we could continue to save as a ministry. That same day, after that meeting, I literally left that board meeting and had to go see the person who owed me $60,000. December 22nd. I see that person, and in that moment, Holy Spirit says, I want you to forgive them and tell them you release them of their debt and they owe you nothing. $60,000. So I'm in there, person on the other side of the room, and I walk to that individual. And I said, sir, what happened between us is in the past. I want you to hear it out of my mouth on behalf of my family and I and on behalf of our ministry. We love you, and we're here to support you. And I want to let you know, you don't owe me a thing. I release that. Sow it back into your ministry. Sow it back into what it is that you all want to do. But we're going to trust God to be God in our life. I walked away from that meeting shaking, because my flesh wanted to not be spiritual in that moment. But January 22nd, 2019... I happened to be in Beverly Hills, California, to tape a TV show called Beat Shazam. And if any of you all remember us winning Beat Shazam, and you remember the amount, and this is how I knew God and forgiveness is real. It was a struggle for me to let go of a year's worth of wages, retirement, to not talk about it publicly, and to get up here every single week and build this church and preach and share with you all every single week about how God is good and he's faithful and we're going to walk in love and love our and serve our community, knowing I had some real money owed. But I saw the hand of God in a completely different way in Beverly Hills, California, where although I was owed 1 year salary and 1 hour having fun answering questions about music, we won $66,500. Watch this. Goodness gracious, the surge protector, Lord. All right. Part of the contingency to get on that show is they said you could not have a rant about any of your previous employers ever, or if she would be disqualified. As many times as I crafted out the post to say, let me let y'all know what it is, the Lord said, stop, shut up, be quiet. You said you forgave, so you forgive. When we received over what we were owed, not only was it not something that my timeline saw, but 2.5 million households saw God restore something that I felt was stolen. So you don't have to talk. You don't have to respond. Let God be God. Walk in love. Forgive people who do you wrong. And God will make it better than you could have ever imagined. And I'm going to say this before we close today. God ain't done. ain't done. So in your life, what are you holding on to? What haven't you let God take control of? Place it in his hands, and I promise you, you will mark this moment down and say, this was the moment that I exercised forgiveness and watched God completely change my life. So with every eye closed,